The message this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and this is what it says. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. This is the word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands and abides forever. May He bless the reading of it and the preaching of it to you this morning. We are in a section in 1 Peter where Peter is teaching us how to live as Christians in a secular society. We all basically live in three social environments: the government, the workplace, and the family or the home. So Peter starts with the broadest area and moves to the narrowest. The broadest social environment in which we live here is the United States of America, and we are therefore answerable to the government of the nation and the government of the state as well, and the government of the city and the local governing authorities and so forth. The next arena of social relationship in which we exist is our workplace, where we go to work every day. We spend a lot of our time in the workplace. The smallest location of our social involvement is in the family, in the home. There's one principle that runs through each environment, and that is the principle of submission. In each case, Peter says, submit. In verse 13 of chapter 2, he says, submit to the government. In verse 18 of chapter 2, he says, submit to your employer. And in chapter 3, verse 1, in regard to marriage, he says, submit to your mate. That is how we are to live as Christians in a secular society. 3 weeks ago, we looked at the Christian as a citizen in a secular society. And we said that the Christian, as a citizen, is obligated to submit to the governing authorities. As citizens, we are to submit to the government that is over us, designed and ordained by God for man's safety and protection. We are to submit for the Lord's sake. We are to submit until the government requires us to deny our Lord or do something that is contrary to His will. Then he takes it a step further and moves from citizens to employees. The word slaves has to do with employees, as far as we are concerned. It speaks of slaves and masters, but it is equivalent to employers and employees. Employees are to submit to their employers as long as the employer doesn't require the Christian to deny his Lord or do something unethical. Then he moves from employment to marriage. The passage we are considering today has to do with marriage. It has to do with marriage in general and a marriage that is less than ideal. He deals with life under a government that is less than ideal. He deals with life in a workplace that is less than ideal. And now he deals with life in a marriage that is less than ideal. So how does a Christian live in a marriage that is less than ideal? A less than ideal marriage is one where one of the mates is a Christian and the other is not a Christian. Peter deals with that here because you see in chapter 3 verse 1 he says, even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Somebody who does not obey the word, that is, somebody who is not a Christian. And then he says that they may be won. And that is referring to winning them to Christ. So what we're dealing with is a Christian marriage in general and a Christian in a less than ideal marriage. How is a Christian to live in that situation? Well, first of all, the first thing we see is that submission is mandated in the Scriptures. Submission is the principle that the Christian is to live by in the home. Verse 1 says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. And verse 7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. The word likewise indicates he is still talking about submission. The submission of the wife looks like one thing, and the submission of the husband looks like something else. He gives 6 verses to wives and 1 verse to husbands. Now, I don't think that that is because women need more instruction than men. But there must be a reason why 6 verses are given to women and 1 verse is written to men. The reason may be that it was far more likely for a woman to find herself in this situation than a man. For a woman to find herself married to a non-Christian than it was for a man. It could be that more Christian women would find themselves married to unbelieving men than men to unbelieving women. It could be that that was the situation that needed more attention, because even if the believer was the man and the unbeliever was the woman, the man would not have it as difficult as if it was the other way around. It was already understood in that society that the husband had the upper hand. So if the husband were the believer and the wife were the unbeliever, then the man would not have it as difficult as the wife would. Well, submission is mandated by the Scriptures. What does the submission of the Christian wife look like? Well, first of all, it looks like subordination. Subordination, verse 1 says, in the same manner. And that is a reference to citizens submitting to government and employees submitting to employers. Here it says, in the same manner, or likewise, you wives be submissive. Be in subjection. To line up under. That's the way it is used in a military context. Realize that you have to take your place as subordinate to the leadership and the headship of your husband. That is God's design for marriage. Women are not inferior in character. They are not inferior in intelligence. They are not inferior in virtue. They are not inferior in spirituality. They are not inferior in giftedness. They are not inferior in any way, period. They have simply been given a role that puts them in the place of submission to a headship which is residing in their husband. Notice that it says, be submissive to your own husbands. And every time in the Bible such an injunction is made, always it says, your own husband. Always the possessive pronoun is there, the intensive possessive pronoun. Be submissive to your own husband, which speaks of the intimacy and the bonding of marriage. The wife is to be submissive to her own husband, the one that she is intimately bonded together with. That is God's design. Actually, Peter is emphasizing here what is emphasized right at the very beginning of the Bible itself, that the central ministry of a wife is to be a helpmate for her husband. Secondly, it looks like purity. Purity. Verse 2 says, when they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear. Now that's a very basic spiritual truth for marriage. He's talking here about a pure life. What does chaste and respectful behavior mean? Well, it basically means irreproachable conduct. Faithful to her God. Faithful to her husband. Don't break trust. Chaste means pure. It means not fooling around with anybody else. It means you're pure in character. Respectful. It means you have respect for him. You demonstrate that respect. You never get involved with anyone else, and you show him proper respect. The third quality is modesty. Modesty. Verse 3 and 4 says, do not let your adornment be merely outward. Arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. The third principle comes in verses 3 through 6, and it is modesty. You have submission, you have purity in verse 2, and then you have modesty. In verse 3 it says, let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. In our society today, there is a lot of emphasis on the outside. Peter says, let not your adornment be merely external. Peter's not saying, don't use any makeup or don't comb your hair or don't try to make yourself look pretty. What he's saying is, let not that be your incessant preoccupation to the disregard of the character on the inside. Peter wants us to see that it's not an external beauty. It's not the beauty of a glamour girl on the front cover of a magazine. It's not a beauty pageant kind of beauty. It is the kind of beauty that God sees on the inside. There is a beauty which transcends all of that external makeup. Now, what does submissiveness in the husband look like? Well, first of all, there is consideration. Consideration. Verse 7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. What do you mean? Sensitive to her needs. Sensitive to her feelings. You are to live with your wife in a deeply intimate way. Don't cut yourself off from her deepest physical, emotional needs, even if she may not be a Christian. You fulfill that dimension. Far from abusing her or ignoring her or being indifferent to her, you are to be sacrificially sensitive to that woman, even though she may not be a Christian. One thing wives need is verbal affirmation. Another thing wives need is just plain help. Help with the household chores. Husbands are to be thoughtful. Husbands are to be respectful to their wives. Secondly, not only is there to be consideration, but there is to be honor. Verse 7 says, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. What does he say in verse 7? You have to live with her as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. She's a weaker vessel. What do you mean by that? Well, first of all, weaker is a comparative word. What's it compared to? Weak. So just keeping that in mind, she's weaker, but the husband is weak himself. So the husband shouldn't get overconfident about his great abilities. The husband is weak, she's weaker. What does that refer to? Physical, probably. As a general rule, women are physically weaker than men. Third word, companionship. Companionship, verse 7 also says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Consideration, honor, companionship. Grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. What's the grace of life? I'm not sure if that's talking about marriage or eternal life. But we're heirs together. We're heirs together of something. We're heirs together of a life, a blessed life that God has given us. We are heirs together in marriage, and we are potentially fellow heirs of eternal life. There's no superiority, inferiority here. It is mutual companionship. So, submission is mandated by the Scriptures, and that is what it looks like. Now, the second thing that we see here about submission is that submission in marriage is motivated by what pleases God. Verse 4 talks about conduct that is very precious in the sight of God. We as Christians are always more concerned about God's evaluation of us more than man's evaluation of us. We are concerned about the fact that all of our life is lived under the observation of God. What does my life look like in the sight of God? That is the important thing. If something is precious in the sight of God, then that is what I want, no matter what any man thinks. Verse 7 talks about living in such a way that your prayers may not be hindered. If there is a way to live that hinders my prayers, then I don't want to live like that. I want to live in such a way that God will hear my prayers and answer my prayers. The reason why we do anything in this world is first and foremost that we want to please our Lord and Savior. That's why he begins in the first verse of chapter 3 with the words, in the same way. That is, just as he has been saying in our relationship to the state, we are to be obedient to the powers that be, not because of who they are, but because we want to be obedient to our Heavenly Father, and He is above them. We want to be obedient to King Jesus. It is because of our relationship to Jesus that we do these things. And our relationship to Jesus Christ affects everything that we are and everything that we do. And what Peter is saying here is that you can face the most extraordinarily difficult circumstances. And you can do that by looking to Jesus Christ, by seeing Jesus Christ as the one that you want to please more than any other. Thirdly, the model of submissiveness for the woman is the Old Testament character, Sarah. Verse 6 says, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good. The model is Abraham's wife, Sarah. Sarah is a model. She's a model that you ought to look like. She's a model that you ought to pattern your life after. Why? She obeyed Abraham. She's a model of obedience. She called him Lord. That wouldn't be real popular today, but it's biblical. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, Master. She's the model. Why does he choose Sarah here? Abraham and Sarah were highly esteemed in the Old Testament. They were highly esteemed by God. We are the children of Abraham. And that is a very great privilege. We are also the children of Sarah if we follow her example. Well, the fourth thing he says about submission in this passage is that the aim of submission is evangelism. Verse 1 says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." The greatest evangelistic tool that a Christian wife can use on her unbelieving husband is submission with purity and modesty. Submission with a gentle and quiet spirit and inner beauty. If a lifestyle is the greatest evangelistic tool for a Christian wife to use on her unsaved husband, then the reverse is true as well. The behavior of a Christian husband is an evangelistic tool for an unsaved wife. The aim of submission is evangelism. In the year 397 A.D., the aging Saint Augustine wrote a book called The Confessions. The Confessions of St. Augustine. It was a biography of his soul. It was a biography of his inner life. Buried in that book is a moving tribute that Augustine gave his mother Monica on the influence she had in bringing her unbelieving husband Patricius to personal faith in Jesus Christ. Augustine described his mother's role with these words: "She served her husband as her master and did all she could to win him for you, speaking to him of you by her conduct which you made her beautiful. Finally, when her husband was at the end of his earthly span, she gained him for you." Augustine's mother was in one of those difficult marriages that Peter wrote about here in 1 Peter chapter 3. And maybe she was influenced by Peter's words. At any rate, the outcome was what Peter was aiming for. She won her husband to Christ by her conduct. What we want is for our marriages to be brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And the first step is for the husband and the wife to both be Christians. May God give us homes where Jesus Christ is Lord and Master and King. Amen. Let's pray.